Okay, try to set this up here. Okay. So we'll say we're now on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, and we're still very much involved in the sugya of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Yesterday we had a long discussion to try to establish how Rabbi Yehuda came to his conclusion, how Rabbi Shimon rejected that. And the bottom line is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Isur Achilas Chametz Da'oraisa with a lav before Pesach, from Chatzos and on the 14th. There's an Isur Lav of Achilan Hanoah on a Da'oraisa level after Pesach, Chametz Sha'ovel of Pesach. And we came to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda has three lavim for chametz. One is before Pesach, one is during Pesach, one is after Pesach. And they all generate malchus. The only difference is that during Pesach it's an isur kares. And Rabbi Shimon uses these extra psukim to derive other conclusions. We also had the shita of Yossi Aglili, and he says the chametz b'Pesach is mutter b'ano. So the last piece that we learned on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, just to review it from yesterday, is Mani Mastisin, who's the author of that Mishnah. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, then even in the case of chametz that belong to a guy, there should be an Iser of chametz she'avel of a Pesach. And yet the Mishnah says that if the chametz was in the possession of a guy during Pesach, it's mutter after Pesach. And if on the other hand the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, then even if the chametz was in the possession of Yisrael, it should be mutter after Pesach. If on the other hand it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then chametz should be mutter ba'anah. So our Mishnah assumes A, that chametz is mutter ba'anah, is also ba'anah. That's against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It assumes that chametz that it was possessed by a Jew over Pesach is also after Pesach b'achila b'anah. But if it was possessed by a guy, it's mutter. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would say that even chametz that was possessed by a guy over Pesach is still chametz shavol over Pesach, and it's also after Pesach. So how can you make this distinction between chametz shel Yisrael and chametz shel Akiv? And if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon would hold that there's no Isur Chametz after Pesach at all, even if it was possessed by Yisrael. So what we're up to today, and we touched on this at the end of yesterday's shir, is Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, which you'll see on the third line down from the top of page Chav Tes Amud Aleph. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov wants to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then we have to ask ourselves the following question. Why is it that chametz in the possession of a guy is mutter after Pesach? So the Gemara goes even a step further. Not only is chametz in the possession of the guy mutter after Pesach, it's even mutter on Pesach.
Mutter to do what?
You can eat it.
What?
You see, Michael, if you were here yesterday, you could have asked your question yesterday. We had a whole machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos, but I'll try to give you the gist of it as we go along. I don't want to penalize you. But let's just read the Gemara. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Li Olam Rabbi Yehuda Hi. And Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the chametz of a guy is mutter. Why is the chametz of a guy mutter? Yolef Si'ar Da'achila Mi'si'ar Da'ri'iyah. He has a Gzeres Shava between Sa'ar, as far as Bal Yirah Bal Yematzi is concerned, which is called Sa'ar D'Re'iyah, and Sa'ar, as far as Achil is concerned. In other words, whatever is included in Bal Yirah Bal Yematzi, where the Torah used the word Si'ar, Lo Yirah Lecha Si'ar, is included in the Iser, when the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat Sa'ar. Now, what kind of chametz is included in the Si'ar of Re'iyah? So the Torah itself specifies it's lo yiro lecha siyar. Lecha means it belongs to a Jew. Shalcha yi atoroa, aval atoroa shalachir b'shal gavoa. Acher means goyim, and if the chametz was owned by a goy, then there's no iser bal yiro bal yimotze. And now we have gzeira shavah between se'or d'ri'iyah and se'or d'achila. Is af se'or d'achila shel chaya to ochel, aval to ochel shel acherim shel gavoa. So as surprising as it is to us, the Gemara at this point is of the opinion that at least on a deraisal level, you're allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. I'll wake you up in the middle of the night and say, how can you eat chametz on Pesach? So you'll tell me, oh, a chol sheyesh bo sakon. No, you don't have to be a chol sheyesh bo sakon. Because according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, based on this gzeirah shavah of si'or d'ri'il, si'or d'achila, even someone who's healthy and well is allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. How so? Because the chametz is possessed by the guy. Yeah, and what type of chametz did the Torah prohibit? Only chametz that's possessed by Israel.
A gezeirah shavah has to be something that's handed down from you know, way back. How could such a gezeirah shavah have started? I mean, you know, it just flies in the face of anything that anybody's ever learned.
Well, the Gemara is going to eventually say that Rav Acha bar Yaakov rescinded this position. He changed his mind. So maybe that's why you never heard of this gezeirah shavah. So that's the difference between learning Gemara and learning Halacha. When you learn Halacha, you don't get exposed to all these Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's kind of way out things. But when you learn the Talmud, you know, you begin to see things that you never dreamed of. I mean, when I saw Rabbi Yossi Aglili for the first time, I couldn't believe it. That chametz is mutabana. Like, to me, it's a dover poshut. It's for Yud Gimel Ikri Adas. That chametz is osabana. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili says chametz is mutabana. Which means that you're allowed to burn the chametz and enjoy the benefit of the fire. Maybe you're even allowed to sell the chametz. I don't know. That would sell to a goyim. Now again, everything that we've said until now is according to Rashi's pshat. And you'll see Rashi on the fourth line down from the top here on Chof Tesem and Aleph. You might want to underline those words. Rashi says, Af ba'achilu, ba'afilu b'pesach. So you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. But then Rashi adds Minat Torah, because Rashi realizes that the Rabbanan are not going to allow for such a thing, because today you'll eat the chametz and you'll say it belongs to a guy. Tomorrow you'll eat your own chametz. You know, you make that mistake. But that's only on a Rabbanan level. On a Deraisa level, we derive chametz in Achila from chametz in Re'iyah. And a chametz in Re'iyah, the Torah then stipulates it's got to be Shalcha. So too, it's as if the Torah said, Lo tochal kol siar shalcha. You know, we'll take the word lecha and we'll add it to the pasuk of achila in sa'ar, and we'll say that sa'ar d'achila is only if it's shalcha. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosis has a real problem with this Rashi. And perhaps the reason why Tosis has a problem with the Rashi is more technical. It's more what I call logistics. Tosis can't understand how you can possibly eat chametz that belongs to a guy. The very moment the guy invites you in to eat chametz, it belongs to you. And even if the rishus that he gave you is not a kinyan, but when you eat the chametz, that itself is a kinyan. And you know, this is on the side, I'm not trying to baffle you, but there is an issue about inviting guests on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. And the moment I invite you to eat in my house, you're eating your own food. Because the law is that if I give you just to eat food and you eat it, you're eating your own food. Like, for example, if I invite someone to my house on Leil Pesach and I give them a piece of matzah. Now, the law is that, you know, you need ownership over the matzah. Again, that's a complicated business, but let's say according to that school of thought that you need ownership over the matzah. So how do you gain ownership over the matzah? On Pesach you make a kinyan on it. How? So it could be that the fact that I invite you and you eat matzah, that makes it into your matzah. So if you take a look at the second line in Tosis, he says, E'efshar. He says the only way that Rashi would allow you to eat it is only im lo yesha lo b'shas achila. It won't be his, but that's the efshar. How could it not be his at the time of the achila? Im nasan lo anochri, the nochri invited him and said, here, eat my chametz. Harev shalo. Oh, maybe he stole the chametz and it really belongs to the guy. So Tosa says that this has to do with the sugya that we learned in the first parak. I don't know if you remember that if you take responsibility for chametz that belongs to a guy, that's called kavol sakrayus. So that also gives you a kind of an ownership over the chametz, and you violate bal yiro bal yimotzei. Again, there's a machlokas exactly what achrayus means. Does it mean like a shomer chidom, like a shomer socher, like a shoel? But at the end of the day, Tosfos says, how can you have a reality of eating chametz that belongs to the guy? Either he gave you rishus and therefore you own the chametz, or you stole it and therefore you have a chrayus on the chametz because you have to return it. And once you have a chrayus on something, it's yours as far as Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei is concerned. So I'm just pointing out here that we have a real serious problem here with this Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And the way Rashi understood it, that according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to eat chametz on Pesach, at least on a deraisa level, if it belongs to a goy. So now the Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah speak about hanah? Take a look at the Mishnah again on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says chametz shel nachri is mutar hanah. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, if he's the author of our Mishnah, should have gone a step further. He should have told us that chametz shel nachri is mutar even be achila. And now he's in mutar b'achila after Pesach, it's mutar b'achila even during Pesach, based on Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's gzeirah shava between sa'ar de re'iyah and sa'ar de achila. So the Gemara says, b'din hu, in truth, he boile l'misnei, da'afilu b'achila namishoy. Tell me a bigger chiddush, that if the chametz is owned by a guy, then you're allowed to eat the chametz. Why does the Mishnah say if the chametz is owned by a goy, you're allowed to have hanah from the chametz? But for a technical reason, the Mishnah mentions hanah. And that's called Aidi D'Tana Reisha, which is a methodological principle that maintains the literary style of Mishnayos, that the Mishnah sometimes, in order to be symmetrical, will use the same language in the Sefer, the same terminology as it did in the Reisha. Even though there's a certain loss, it's not like it's a little bit inaccurate. Again, it's not that this is wrong. I mean, obviously, chametz is mutar b'hanah if it belonged to a guy. But why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi go a step further and tell me a bigger chiddush that chametz is mutar b'achila if it belongs to a guy? And that's called Aidi. Aidi means by and by, sort of by the way, to make a certain mirror image, a parallelism between the Seif and the Reisha. Aidi the Tani, the Yisrael, Asur b'hanah. The Mishnah wants to tell you that if the chametz was owned by a Yisrael over Pesach, then it's Asur b'hanah even after Pesach, which is again the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, that chametz over Pesach is Asur even b'hanah, and that's a Doraisa halacha. There's a separate law in the Torah. It's Tori Nami Nochri. In the case of Nochri, he wants to tell you that it's Mutter, and Mutter here really means Mutter b'achila. He mentions Mutter b'hanah in contrast to the Reisha where the chametz was owned by Yisrael. So if the chametz is owned by Yisrael, it's Mutter b'hanah. Now he wants to tell you, I'm sorry, if the chametz is owned by Yisrael, it's Asur b'hanah. So now he wants to tell you that if the chametz is owned by Nochri, it's Mutter b'hanah. Really, he wants to tell you even more than that. Not only is it Mutter b'hanah, but it's even Mutter b'achila. So if the guy invites me into his house to eat chametz, so that's why I told you yesterday, you have Tony's pizza shop down the block. Okay, so Tony is probably not going to allow me to eat his pizza unless I pay for it. But let's say he's a good buddy of mine, so he'll say, Berzon, come in and have an extra pizza. You know, I got some extra pizza. Nobody's here. You know, it's Pesach, but you don't mind eating chametz on Pesach. So according to the Torah law, I'm allowed to eat, you know, Tony's pizza because it's owned by Tony. Although Tosfos has an objection that really it's not owned by Tony. But let's say it was owned by Tony. So that's called Aidi. Not only that, the Gemara says another Aidi here, because Bidinu di boil misnei dafilu b'toks mano muta b'ano. No, it's the Torah, the Mishnah could have told me an even bigger Kiddush. Not only is the chametz of a guy mutter after Pesach, but the chametz of a guy is mutter even during Pesach. But Aidi the Tani di Yisrael, since he wants to tell you that the Kiddush of Yisrael, if the chametz is owned by a Jew, then it's Asur li'achers manu, even after Pesach, again reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Is Tonanami Nochri, Liachar Zmano, he also mentions in the case of Goy that you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of this chametz after zman. And in truth, there's a much broader chiddush, and that would be to tell you that you're allowed to eat the chametz of a nachri even during Pesach itself. So all this is Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and I emphasize this because the names are important here. Rav Acha bar Yaakov commits our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, because later on the Gemara is going to bring another statement of Rav Acha bar Yaakov which contradicts this original statement, and the Gemara is going to assume that Rav Acha bar Yaakov changed his mind, he rescinded his original position. Rav Amar, Liolam Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to go back to our Mishnah, and I'm going to attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Shimon. Now wait a second, Rabbi Shimon denied the lav of Achilas Chometz after Pesach. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Isur of Achilas Pesach is limited to the days of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Rava says, Rabbi Shimon Knossa Konis, that when the Mishnah says that Chometz Shavu of Pesach is Asur, if it was owned by a Jew during Pesach, that's a Knas. What's a Knas? Anybody know what a knas is? Have you heard of a knas? Yeah, a penalty. And it's a financial penalty that's imposed by the Rabbanim. In other words, the Torah itself would not penalize you after Pesach, because the Torah says chametz is only also on Pesach, but not after Pesach. But the Rabbanim clamped down an Isur of chametz after Pesach, which is called a knas, because the chametz was in the possession of a Jew during Pesach. Now look at the Gemara's language. The Gemara says, "Hoil since the over alebe bal yira ubal yimotze." In other words, by possessing the chametz during Pesach, so he's an iver chacham. He thinks he can outsmart the Torah. He's going to hold on to his chametz over Pesach. He's going to lock it up, and then he'll enjoy it after Pesach. Yeah. Well, now we have a knas. And the Knas says that since you held on to your chametz and possessed your chametz on Pesach, which means that you violated by your rabbi Yimotze, then the Rabbanim are going to say, we're not going to allow you to do such a thing. We're going to tell you that in event that you lock up your chametz during Pesach, you're not going to be able to enjoy it after Pesach. So don't think that you can violate, you know, circumvent the law and maintain your possession over chametz. Now again, that's only because you violated by your rabbi Matzah, but suppose this chametz was owned by a guy. Well, if it's owned by a guy, then there's no knas, because this chametz was not subject to any violation of by your rabbi Matzah. Only in the case of chametz shel Yisra. Now Rav Osei, watch this language. It says, Hoil v'over aleve by your rabbi Matzah. What does that mean? I'm going to give you two possibilities, and you'll tell me the nafgimina. Okay, I'm quizzing you now. Does it mean that he actually violated by your rabbi Matze by possessing the chametz, or does it mean that he could have violated by your rabbi Matze by possessing the chametz? What would be the nafkamina between those two formulations? He actually violated by your rabbi Matze, or he could have violated by your rabbi Matze?
How is it a bear if you just said he could have?
Right, but let's say you didn't see the Gemara. I'm saying, now you know the Gemara and you're going to prove one of the two tzedakim. But let's say you didn't see the Gemara. And I was just telling you that chametz that was in the possession of Yisrael during Pesach is aser after Pesach, according to Rav Shimon as well, on a drabbanan level. Is it me because I violated by your rabbi Matze, or is it me because I could have violated by your rabbi Matze? Does anybody see the difference between the two? It sounds almost identical.
No, what do you mean could have?
What do I mean by could have?
It means you have the ability to
be right, but what's the case where he had the ability to violate by Rabbi Matzah, but he didn't actually violate?
He had a choice, and he chose not to do it.
What did he say?
There's no Matzah, but he might have found it.
Yeah, maybe he didn't know about it. Maybe he thought he did Bittul. You know, you could have what I call a shogeg as opposed to a mazid. And Michael points out, but let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hoil v'over aleba by Rabbi Matzah. The Gemara doesn't say that simply because the chametz was in his possession, therefore we're going to clamp down on him an Iser after Pesach. No, the Gemara says you violated by your rabbi Matzah, and now you're ready for, and you deserve a knas, a penalty. But what I found fascinating, and you know, I give a halacha class here for, you know, some mornings at 10, so we're learning Hilchos Pesach, and what I was fascinated by is that the poskim unanimously say that even if you were unaware of this chametz, and you didn't deliberately violate by your Omei Matzah, you could have violated by your Omei Matzah, and that's enough to impose the knas. The language of the Gemara, I think, is very difficult, but all the poskim, right? Nobody seems to have any kula. The only kula was, now this is interesting, what happens if he was mevatel his chametz? Is he allowed to enjoy that chametz after Pesach? That's a gigantic controversy. There are those who say that in this case, he didn't really own the chametz because he was mevatel the chametz.
He's supposed to mevatel it. I mean, that's what you do anyway.
Right, but the others say no, because you're not allowed to be mevatel your chametz and leave the chametz in your possession. Right, that was the whole sugya that we had back on Daf Vavam days, that that even after Bitl, you have to do what?
But all the chametz is sold to a goy.
I'm talking about a case where you didn't sell his chametz. Obviously, yeah. That's a whole different story. No, if you sold your chametz, then that's our Mishnah that chametz shall nachri, shall all of Pesach is mutar badno. But I'm talking about a case where you own the chametz over Pesach, but you inadvertently violated by your Rabbi Matzah. What I mean by inadvertently, meaning unintentionally, you had no intention to violate. So that the post can say is also after Pesach. But the machlok is going to be what happens if you made bittul. So one school of thought says if you made bittul, then you didn't own the chametz, and therefore it's not chametz shalom v'pesach. The other school of thought says, well, you should have gotten rid of your chametz because the rabbanon are not going to allow you to make bittul and possess the chametz. The Torah relies on bittul, right? That's called b'daraisa b'bittul ba'alma sagile. You remember that? But the rabbanon say you can't leave the chametz around, even if you made bittul. We're afraid you might come to eat it. Maybe you don't trust your bittul. You know, not everyone has the same sincere commitment to bittul, whatever it is. But the Rabbanan will not allow you to leave chametz in your possession, even after bittul. And some poskim say that the violation of that requirement is enough to deserve the knas of chametz she'avol of Pesach. So that's a gigantic machlokes. Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, is very machmir on this, but he says that maybe in the case of a shas adchak, you know, you're talking about a guy who owns whiskey, you know, maybe he gets his business from whiskey and it's chametz, he's going to take a major, major loss. So it could be we'll allow him to possess the whiskey after Pesach and sell it or enjoy it, whatever you might allow him, because he made bittul. Because at least he did bittul on his chametz. And the Torah recognizes bittul.
During chametz, he closes his business, right? He can't possess.
Right. He was not, he didn't violate anything. The only thing he violated is that he should have gotten rid of his chametz. Or in the case of whiskey, you can't get rid of it. He should have sold it to a goy. So he didn't sell it to a goy. He didn't get rid of it. He's not a great guy. You know, we're not going to give him shlishi, but we're gonna allow him to sell his whiskey according to that shita. And the Mishnah Berurah wants to say that since he did bittul, we're going to rely on that shita that says that there's no chametz shalom v'pesach if he did bittul because of this hefseid merubah, this tremendous amount of loss. Could you imagine? I mean, just think of it. A person was mevatel all his chametz. He owns tens of thousands of dollars of worth of chametz, and he didn't sell it. Do you follow? So he's got possession. He has the key to his cellar, and in the cellar he's got $10,000 worth of whiskey that's chametz. So again, just imagine the scenario. Mm-hmm. Now, if he would have been, you know, pious, and he would have asked the rabbi what to do, the rabbi would have said, you've got to sell your chametz. It's not enough that you did bittul. The rabbanan don't rely on bittul. But for whatever reason, it may be because he's ignorant, you know, he didn't do it deliberately, he didn't sell his chametz. So imagine that according to one school of thought, he cannot benefit from that whiskey one pruta after Pesach. Do you know what that means to a person who's in business?
Even if you're not in business, if you got that kind of an inventory down in his basement, it's a loss.
Right. But I'm saying, I'm trying to dramatize it. Imagine if this whole livelihood comes from chametz. He's a chametz seller. That's his business. That's his geshef.
So during, I mean, maybe it's an obvious answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So he's in the business. He does bittul. He sells it to a goy. But he remains open during the week. And two scenarios. One, he's in the store selling it. Oh. And two, he has goyim who work for him and they sell it. But he's home.
No, so that's interesting. I taught this in great length. There's a lot of details here. On the one hand, the chametz belongs to the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. On the other hand, you're benefiting from the chametz. Sure. Let's say, for example, the guy. I mean, again, there's so many different scenarios, but one scenario is that the guy is going to give you a commission on every bottle of whiskey that's sold.
Sure, you can't. That's for sure.
Again, there are so many different scenarios. I mean, it is even a case where a person has a worker, an employee, and he pays that employee a salary for selling chametz.
Right. That's my example.
Right, and the employee himself is a guy. So that there's no problem with the guy, but the problem is that I'm very interested that he should take my chametz and sell it. Mm-hmm. That's also common.
But it's not my chametz. I sold it before Pesach to the guy.
Right. But I tell you what, the chachamim want to make sure that the sale is absolutely binding. Mm-hmm. They don't want any flimsy kind of sale, you know, fig leaf sale. They want it to be a binding sale.
So I'm saying halakhically, he technically can't remain open and sell because he doesn't own it. The profit doesn't go to him. Technically, the profit goes to the guy he sold it.
Oh, okay. That would be an absolute sale. No, as long as he doesn't make any conditions with the buyer. He doesn't say to the guy, you have to sell X amount.
No, I'm reversing it. He does all the things he's supposed to do, but he remains open and continues business during Chol HaMoed. Right, so it seems to me that's in violation, because how can he keep the profits? How can he get a benefit from it?
Correct.
He sold it.
Correct. Well, let's say he doesn't keep the profits, but he gets a salary for keeping the business open. That itself is an issue. Let's say forget about your case where I sold it.
Yeah,
let's say a guy hires me on Pesach to sell chametz, and I don't get a commission per item, but I do get a salary. So I'm getting a salary for selling chametz. That's not so simple. Because that's called Rotsa B'Kiyumo, and he's getting benefit from chametz, and even though he doesn't own the chametz, the guy owns the chametz.
How can you?
Oh, I don't know about Marisai. I'm talking about Doraisas now. You know, Marisai is a Drabanan, you know.
But if you're in a big partnership, that's not a problem?
That's also an issue. For example, this comes up...
Stack in Heinz, let's say.
Right.
And
selling
it.
Yeah. But let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone who owns stock in Dunkin' Donuts? Do you know anyone who owns stock in what's called McDonald's? I think McDonald's is on the stock market for now. Yeah. Now McDonald's sells Bas V'Chol cheeseburgers, and you own stock.
You're not in control of anything.
Good, so it could be what percentage. Again, you know, this is a real, you know, this is for my 8 o'clock Shabbos morning contemporary halachas. You know, is stock ownership enough to make you into a partner such that, so for example, there's some people own, you know, they own, they have a franchise on whether it's McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts. In the Midwest, this is very common. You know, I have my friend Yossi Sawson, you know.
In Los Angeles, there was a guy, a Jew, who was a 50% partner with a goy, and they remained open on Shabbat. And he has some kind of a halakha.
Exactly. You know, you have to create a special contract. Yeah. You really need a very, very detailed, you know,
because
contract.
Because we're based in, we had that in my firm. There were five Jewish partners and one non-Jewish partner. Right. And then a whole thing with the based in, they drew up an agreement. So right. the practice could be open on Friday evening.
Right.
And on
right. You need a really good based in for that.
Yeah.
You know.
London based in.
What?
London-based.
Yeah, not when I mean a good base. And what I meant to say was that you need a real Talmud Chacham to work out all the nitty gritty details of such a contract, and it's got to be absolutely binding, both in a Jewish court of law and a secular court of law. Lo pashut. So in any event, let's just summarize. So we have Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now we have Rav. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who's the author of Mishnah? Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah says that Chomet Shal Akum is Mutter, and the answer is he has a Gzeres Shava between Tzar Re'iyah and Tzar Da'achila. Then we have Rav Shita, and Rav says the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Chomet Shal Akum Pesach is Mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon. The answer is it's Mutter in the Torah, but as far as Knas is concerned, if the Jew remained in possession of the Chomet, he's not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the Chomet after Pesach. Bishleim Rav. The Gemara says that Rav's pshat, that the Av Mishnah is based on a knas, makes a lot more sense. Why? Hainu the Ketani, Therefore, the Mishnah says, "Shall Yisrael asur?" And the Mishnah says, "Why? Why shall Yisrael asur? Mishum shenema lo yirah." Wait a second. What do you mean lo yirah? That makes sense if you hold that we're dealing with bal yirah by yimatzeh. But now we're telling that the chometz is also after Pesach. Then you, the Gemara is bothered by this. The Mishnah shouldn't have quoted the pasuk lo yirah. The Mishnah should have quoted the pasuk that prohibits chometz. El Rav Acha bar Yaakov Mishum lo yachel chametz mi boile. The Mishnah should have quoted the pasuk lo yachel chametz. Right. Let's just review. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has three lavim. Three times the Torah repeats that you're not allowed to eat chametz, and one of them is for Pesach, the other is before Pesach, and the third one is after Pesach, and the third pasuk is lo yachel chametz. Now, lo yachel chametz is the appropriate pasuk according to Rabbi Yehuda to tell you why you're not allowed to enjoy chametz after Pesach. And again, when it says lo yachel, by the way, it means both an isur achila and an isur hanah, and that applies midoraisa with a separate lav after Pesach. So why is the Mishnah quote the pasuk lo yirah to explain why chametz is also after Pesach if it was in the possession of the Israel? So according to Rava, that our Mishnah is authored by Rav Shimon, it makes sense. It's very smooth, because the only reason according to Rav Shimon the chametz is also after Pesach is not because of a pasuk lo yachel. The pasuk lo yachel is referring to during Pesach, not after Pesach according to Rav Shimon, but rather because you violated possession over the chametz in lo yirah. So the Gemara answers, "Mi savris asefa kai." When you read the Mishnah, and at the end of the Mishnah it says, "Mishum shenema lo yirah," you assume that that's coming to explain why is it that in the case of chametz shel Yisrael, it's also after Pesach. No, it's not referring to the case of chametz shel Yisrael. It goes back to the reisha. Our reisha kai, and the reisha of the Mishnah says, "Chametz shel nachrisha olav al pesach is mutar." And why is it mutter? And the answer is because of the gzeira shava of re'ia and achila. So we really go back to the pasuk of re'ia here, and therefore the Mishnah is very appropriately quotes the pasuk lo yirah lecha. And what does lo yirah lecha mean? Shalcha iya toroa, aval toroa shal achir shal gavoa. You're not allowed to see your own chametz, but you're allowed to see the chametz that's possessed by a guy, or if it's hegdesh. And then v'yolif si'ar da'achila misyar de're'iyah, according to the logic of Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov in Rabbi Yehuda, we have a gzeira shava si'ar da'achila to si'ar de're'iyah. And just like in si'ar de're'iyah, what's the precondition to violate lo yirah lecha? It's got to be shelcha. It's got to be owned by whom? By the Yisrael. So too, as far as achila is concerned, it has to be owned by a Yisrael. Okay. The Azdu L'Tamayhu. This machlokas between Rava and Rav Acha bar Yaakov appears elsewhere. And basically what we're seeing here in our sugya is just simply an application of an old machlokas that was formulated explicitly, the Itmar. Itmar always introduces a discussion, usually a controversy, in the Beis HaMedrash. Itmar. Ha'ochel si'or shel nochri she'ovar olav ha'pesach. The guy owned the chametz, and now it's after Pesach. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Shita, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a lav in the Torah for chametz she'ovar olav ha'pesach. Rava amar loke. Rava says he violated a lav, and just like any lav, you get malchus. Here too, you're going to get malchus. Now again, Rava is holding that chametz she'ovar olav ha'pesach, if it's usur with a separate lav d'oraisa, applies to any chametz she'ovar olav ha'pesach, whether it was owned by a Jew or owned by a guy. And therefore, hence, even though the guy owned this chametz during the course of Pesach, if the Jew eats the chametz after Pesach, he gets malchus for violating the law of chametz shavu l'va Pesach. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar Eino Loke. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, if we have a hekesh between Re'ia and Achila, Re'ia only applies if the chametz is owned by whom? By the Yisrael. So too, Achila only applies if it's owned by Yisrael. This chametz was owned by a guy. Rav Omar Loke. Why does Rav say you get Malkus Lo Yolif from Yehuda Siyar de Achila Misar de Re'ia? Rav Yehuda never had this equation between Siyar de Achila and Siyar de Re'ia. Hence, Chametz Shalav of Pesach is a separate lav which applies to any chametz that passed over, pardon the pun, passed over Passover. Right? Meaning, if it was over Lav of Pesach, it doesn't matter who owned the chametz. Right? There's no condition of Lecha here. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Eino Loke, since it was owned by a guy, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Yolif Siyar Dachila Misar Dereiya, and therefore the Tanai, the condition of Lecha that appears in Sarde Re'iya, now applies as a condition in Sarde Achila. The Chametz now is owned by a guy during Pesach. There's no Isra of Avalava Pesach with regard to Chametz that was owned by a guy. Not only that, as we said, we go even a step further, that even on Pesach itself, you're allowed to eat this Chametz if you hold like Rav Acha bar Yaakov's Gzeirah Shava. Now, I told you that Si'or D'Achila and Si'or D'Riyah is a Gzeirah Shava. You know, I'm thinking out loud here, maybe it's not a Gzeirah Shava. Because look at the Gemara's language. It says, Yolif Si'or D'Achila Misi'or D'Riyah. I'm not sure if that means a Gzeirah Shava. Give me just a minute here. I'm going to look at a footnote. Maybe he touches on this. Si'or D'Achila Homer Khan. Hainu chametz, okay, fine. Sa'ar means chametz, that's wonderful. That's only on a drabbanan level. Okay, I don't find anything here offhand in the notes. Maybe one of you gentlemen has a note here. Is this called a gzeirah shava? I don't think it's a gzeirah shava. Alright, we'll leave it for the time being. Let's go on. The Hadar Bey Rav Acha bar Yaakov Me'ahi. The Gemara reports that Rav Acha bar Yaakov actually rejected his original position when he said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's chametz is owned by a Nochri, you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. And we're going to go through now a whole long sugya in order to finally, at the end of a long trip, a long tunnel, prove that Rav Acha bar Yaakov changed his mind. So, you know what you want to do now is sort of like you want to put this on the back burners, you know, write a note to yourself that eventually, after all this whole sugya here on the bottom of Chof Tes Amin Aleph, we have to finally swing back to Rav Acha bar Yaakov and ask whether you're allowed to eat Chomet Shal Goy on Pesach. But first we have to look at another sugya, Disanya. Okay, now this sugya is called Kimlei B'Derabamine. Now, Rabosi, you're going to have to tell me whether you're familiar with that or not. Have you heard of it? Are you familiar with it? Yes, I have one yes over here. Another yes.
I've heard of it. You have to remind me what it means.
Okay, Kimlei B'Derabamine. Again, I'd have to write it out. Correct. You're only punished for the higher Avera and not the lower Avera. So now, here's an interesting case. You know, in Kachim, you can have Kachim on Chametz. The overlap between Kachim and Chametz is actually quite common. For example, you have something called Lechem, Lachmi Toda, you could have Menachos that are Chametz. In many cases where you could have something that's Chametz. So it's Hegdesh, and it's also Chametz. Now again, during the course of the year, that's irrelevant. The fact that it's chametz is only relevant in Kodshim when you need chametz. But it becomes extremely relevant on Pesach if somebody were to go ahead and eat Hegdesh, which is chametz. Why? Because now we have an overlap of two different Isurim. On the one hand, he should be punished as a moel behegdesh. Do you remember the concept of me'ilo? We spoke about it at great length, that stealing from hegdesh generates many, many different chiyuvim. You have to bring a korban asham, you have to pay keren v'chomesh, that means one 100% plus another 20%. That's as far as the hegdesh element, but it's also chomet. And he ate it on Pesach. Now, if he ate it on Pesach, he gets a severe punishment for eating chametz on Pesach. He's even chayv kares for that, for eating chametz on Pesach. So now the question is, does the law of me'ilah kick in? Meaning the obligations and the payments and the penalties for me'ilah, do they apply in a case where he's liable for a more severe punishment? In this case, kares.
Isn't one punishment with Eshemayim and the other one is...
Excellent. Okay, so that's going to be the sugya of Chizkiyah that we're about to embark upon. But I didn't want to confuse you. I just wanted to get the basics, you know, and then we get to... Let's just assume that kares is a very severe punishment. And that's called Bidurabba Mine. Bidurabba Mine means it's on a higher level. It's a more intense and severe punishment. So here's the brisa. The brisa says, "Ochel chametz shel hegdesh b'moed." B'moed means on Pesach. Okay, now I'm not getting into another issue here because again, that's going to complicate matters. Did he eat it b'mezid or b'shogeg? The truth is, he ate it b'shogeg, but I don't want to confuse you because there's another issue which we're not going to touch on today, as to whether or not Kimlei B'Derabmei applies in a case of a shogeg. Let's just assume that there's a din of Kimlei B'Derabmei even in a case of shogeg. Just again, just to make life easier for ourselves. So the first opinion in this price says Mal means he has to pay what's called Keren V'Chomesh. Why? And again, he's also going to have to bring a korban me'ila, but the important thing for our purposes is that he has to pay a penalty for me'ila. Because when you steal something from hegdesh, which is called me'ila, you have to pay a certain monetary compensation. The yesh omrim lo ma'al. And the second opinion says that you're not chayev to pay this compensation, you're alleviated from that payment, and the reason is, as we'll soon see, because of Kimlei B'Derabba Mine.
So there's a difference between...
It happens said, to be chametz.
You just said he's committed me'ila. There's a difference between he's committed me'ila and he's not liable to pay the punishment, as opposed to what seems to say here, he hasn't committed me'ila at all.
Well, I would say the following. When we say he hasn't committed me'ila at all, we're assuming, listen carefully, Michael, that even the karban is also a kind of a punishment. I mean, that's complicated, because a karban is really a mechaper. I don't know if it's an onesh. You know, there's a difference between kapara and onesh. But for our purposes, every kapara is an onesh. Every onesh is a kapara. So those two concepts, although they're different one from the other, but they overlap. So when it says lo mal, means we can't even clamp upon him a chiv karban me'ilah, because that karban me'ilah is also a punishment, and we're going to give him a much worse punishment, a much more severe punishment, because this hegdesh is also chametz, and chametz incurs a violation of kares. So right now, at this point, what we're going to have to figure out is, why does one man diyomer say mal? I mean, what happened to Kimlei B'Derabba Mine? And that's going to be the issue of kares. How do we classify kares insofar as it's not a misa or an onesh bidei shamayim? It's bidei adam. It's only bidei shamayim. So again, I'm not sure if I'm hitting you with too many variables at once. You know, trying to sort out all the variables here in this.
Is hektesh allowed to have chametz on Pesach?
Yeah, that's based on the pasuk lecha, right? Lecha means shalcha iyataroa, aval taroa shal hegdesh v'shal achirim v'shal gavoa. Gavoa means hegdesh. Now, why is it that Hegdish is allowed to own chametz on Pesach? I don't know, but that's what the deal is. Maybe because Hegdish is not a private ownership; it's a different kind of an ownership. It's qualitatively a different ownership, but that's going to be Mitch's issue. We'll call it Mitch's problem, and I'm not solving your problem. It's an outstanding problem. But in any event, the real problem here is the person who eats this chametz, because he's chayef kares for eating the chametz. He's chayef for me'ilah because it's also Hegdish. Number one, a carbon me'ilah. Number two, he's chayef keren. Number three, he's chayef chomesh. So there's a whole slew of obligations and punishments that we impose upon him because he ate Hegdish. But now the Gemara says, Yesha Omrim Loma. That's pretty interesting. Loma. Why is there no Mila? So if you understand the principle of Kim Leib Rabbinay, you'll begin to appreciate why Loma. And that means that if you violate an Isur and it has two Chiyuvim, Now let me give you a classic case of Kim Leib Rabbinay. Let's say a person on Shabbos would burn down Yenim's haystack. Let's say that the haystack is a lot of money. So the Nizak, the one whose haystack went up in flames, he wants to sue you for damages. Right? That's what we call tort law. That's Nezikin. But the answer is no. You can't sue him for damages because he is going to be punished under a much more severe punishment for violating the Shabbos. Now that's all because Shabbos is called an Odesh Bidei Adam, meaning the courts, the Jewish courts, can mete out, it's a capital crime. But what happens if he did the same thing on Yom Kippur? Now Yom Kippur is not a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Adam, it's a Chiyuv Kares Bidei Shamayim. And that's going to be the machlokas that we're about to embark upon. And you take a look at the Gemara that says, Man Yesh Omrim. Who is the Yesh Omrim that applies Kim Leib Derabine to the case of Chametz Shel Hegdesh? Or Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonahi. This is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah. And he's the one who says that Kim Leib Rabbinay applies to Yom Kippur just as it applies to Shabbos, even though the difference is that Shabbos is a Misa Bidei Adam and Yom Kippur is a Misa Bidei Shamayim. The Sadi, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah ya Oses Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos Litashlumin. Tashlumin means payments or compensation for damages. And we're going to equate Yom Kippur with Shabbos. Ma Shabbos, just like in the case of Shabbos, if a person does a malach on Shabbos, and he also incurs a punishment, a monetary punishment for nezik and for damages, is mischayev benafshu potu bina tashlumin, he's chayev misa b'day adam in a Jewish court, and therefore he's potu from tashlumin, that's called kimlei. But the Rabbinay, he burns down his friend's haystack on Shabbos, and he's chayav misa from Aleches Havara, and he's parted from paying his friend back for the nizokin of the Godish, of the haystack that he burnt down, is af. The same thing applies to Yom HaKippurim, and Mischayav Benafsha. But here the words Mischayav Benafsha mean Chi of Karis, which is Bidei Shamayim, who parted min HaTashlum, and he doesn't have to pay damages. Why? Because he's chayev kares for burning down the fellow's haystack on Yom Kippur. And now let's apply by analogy the same principle of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah to Ochel Chametz Shel Hegdesh b'Pesach. In the case of Chametz Shel Hegdesh, he violates Me'ilah, but at the same time he violates the Isur Kares of Achilas Chametz. And the Isur Kares of Achilas Chametz is equal to Meleches Havara on Yom Kippur. And in both cases, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah is going to say that he's potter from Tashlumin. And therefore, in the case of Me'ilah, we're not going to impose upon him any punishments for Me'ilah because he violated Me'ilah by eating chametz and he incurred a chiyuv kares. That's all according to the Yesh Omrim. The Tanakhama, the first Tana in the Braisa, says that we only apply Kim Leib Derabinay in a chiyuv misa bidei adam. It means that the rule, the principle of Kim Leib Derabinay addresses Bezdin and says to Bezdin that you cannot act in two capacities in a case when there is a more severe punishment for this violation and a less severe punishment. You cannot impose two punishments. that's that addresses Bezdin. But if you talk about Kares, that's irrelevant to Kimlev the Ramine. So holds the Tanakama, and therefore if you eat Chametz Shel Hegdesh on Pesach, according to Tanakama, you're chay for Me'ilah. What happened to Kimlev the Ramine? The answer is, because Chametz, as far as the Issur Kares is concerned, is a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim. And with regard to a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim, there's no din of Kimlev the Ramine, because Kimlev the Ramine addresses Bezdin. That's according to Tanakama. The second Tana, who says that you're potur, that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Nachuni ben Akona, and there are no chiyuv and me'ilah that we're going to impose upon you because you ate chametz, and chametz is a kimlev d'ramine, even though it is a chiyuv bidei shamayim. How many people understood what I just said?
Kind of. Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of means. You know, I can, on a scale of 0 to 100, what's kind of? It's like
the general.
Is it past 50? Is over the over the?
The general law is you're not liable for a lower, less severe penalty. If you're liable to a more severe penalty,
excellent.
However, that only applies.
According to one opinion, that only applies.
That only applies if you're dealing with the court.
Correct.
But if one of them has the court and the other one is dealing with Shemayim,
like Kares, then you don't apply Kimlei Rami.
Right.
That's one opinion. The other opinion is Rabbi Chuni ben Akana. He made Yom HaKippurim like Shabbos, meaning he applied Kimlei Rami even to Yom Kippur, which is only a Chiyu Bidei Shemayim of Kares. And therefore, we're going to apply that rule of, according to the second opinion, the Ishomrim, we're going to apply that rule of Yom Kippur Kishabbos to the case of Chametz. And we're going to say that Kimlei Rami applies even though Chametz is only Bidei Shemayim, but it's a more severe. It's a more severe violation. Now, I'm just going to raise a question, only because Imo Enochi Betzara, because I'm bothered by this sugya, and I don't mean to confuse you, but maybe misery loves company, maybe you'll help me out with this, because I don't understand this whole Gemara. Chametz is not just the chiyuv bidei shamayim. It's true that kares is bidei shamayim, but you can get malchus for eating chametz. So there is a punishment in bezdin. Now, if a person violates an iser lav and at the same time he incurs some sort of monetary penalty, so we have a principle called eino loka mishalim. Like, let's say, for example, you have the famous mission of Edim Zomimim. So Edim Zomimim are chayav for losan v'riach et shaker, which is not a chiyuv kares, and therefore they don't pay penalties. That's called eino loke u'mashalim. We can't impose tashlumin on a person who's chayav malchus. So even if I grant you that we reject Rabbi Nachuni ben Akonim, and so far as chametz and nisa kares is concerned, I cannot, my hands are tied, I cannot apply the principle of kimlev d'ramine because it's only known as bezdin. But what about malchus? What about the fact that he definitely gets malchus? That's a punishment in bezdin, even in the case of chametz. Now, he has a long piece here on the shogeg issue, because all the obligations and requirements to pay in me'ilah is only in the case of shogeg. And in Shogeg, you're not chayv kares. So what is Gemara operating with here? But that has to do with Chizkiya in Masechta Ksuvos. Chizkiya is of the opinion that even in a case of chayvi misa Shogeg, we apply Kimlev Ramin. Okay, that's more complicated. But I'm worried about the Malchus issue here. I'll just take 1 minute of time to see. I thought maybe I'd find something on this. No, I don't see that he talks about Malchus here. What about Malchus? Why not apply the principle of Eino Loke Mishalim? So that remains an outstanding question.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Just going back one step. If one, the rule is if one is a court penalty and the other one is a heavenly penalty, right? You're not exempt. But is that only if the lower one is Meshamayim?
No,
or we're talking either one of them.
No, it's the more severe one is bidei shamayim, because that's the one that we're focused on. We want to know if that one, that punishment, will knock off
the lesser one.
The lesser one, right?
But if it's from shamayim, it doesn't knock it off.
That's the machlokus here between the Tanakhama, who says mal, and the Yesh Omer, who says lo mal. The Yesh Omer says lo mal means that we do apply kimle and ravine even in a case of a chiyuv onesh bidei shamayim. The position that we suspend kimle and ravine because the onesh is only bidei shamayim is the position of the Tanakhama, who says mal. Now that's what we have over here. So that's what we have. Okay, then Rabosai, that's what we have. So let's see if we can appreciate this Gemara. The Gemara now says that the machlokas, whether mal, that's the Tanakhama, lo mal, depends upon Rav Nechunya ben Akona and the scope of Kimle b'Rabbi. Now at this point the Gemara gives a whole nother explanation which is going to be very relevant to us because we want to get to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Another alternative approach to the case of Ochel Chametz Shel Hegdish. Now let's say that you have a zevach, you have a behemas kodshin that was designated for the mizbeach, and now it became a balmum. So the law is that you cannot be makriv such a korban on the mizbeach, but you're allowed to do pidyon, which means you can transfer the kedusha from a korban that became a balmum over to its equivalent value in domin, its market value. However, that pidyon does not completely undermine the kedusha. It's only a partial hafkas kedusha, meaning there still is a residue of kedusha, a vestige of kedusha in the animal even after pidyon. And therefore, it's asur begizav avoda, meaning you're not allowed to work the animal, you can't shear its wool if it's a sheep. And the only permission or license that you get as a result of this pidyon is to eat the animal. You're allowed to eat it, but the Torah says you're not allowed to do what's called giza ve'avoda. And this is a sugya at the end of Masechta Tmura that derives from a pasuk, tizbach v'achalta basar, that this pasuk is referring to a heter v'achilas basar after pidyon in the case of a balmum. But it's only allowing you to eat the basar, achalta, but not giza v'avoda. So Rav Yosef is now going to say the following. What is the machlokas of our Tanoim about ochel chametz shel hegdish b'pesach? Says Rav Yosef, this braisa holds like Rav Yosef Aglili, that chametz b'pesach is mutar b'adno. I have chametz that's kodshim. I want to now be poda the kodshim. And what is my ultimate goal? What am I going to do with this kodshim? Again, we're talking about chametz. I want to feed it to my dog. Is Mandiom Mal, according to Mandiom, who says that is chayav mishum me'ilo kasavar, he holds podimis hakodshim lachilon leklavim. So if you have chametz shel hegdesh, even though it's not royal achilu bePesach, but you could be poda it, and you can take the money and you can use it. I'm sorry, you can take the chametz and use it to feed an animal, to feed a dog. So therefore, it has value. If it has value, then you caused a hefsed, a loss to hegdesh, and that's called meila. You have to pay for tashlume me'il. Man diyoma lomal, kasover ein podim. There's nothing you can do here with this chametz. Why? Because you can't eat it on Pesach, and that means it's valueless. Aye, but maybe I could do a pigeon on it, and then feed it to my dog. Well, the law is ein podim es hakodshim lachil leklov. And when you do a pigeon, it has to be for a serious purpose. There's got to be some what we call tzorech. And just to feed it to a dog, that's not enough of a tzorech to justify doing a pidgin on kodshi. Is memela, now this chomet shel hekdesh is worthless to me. I can't eat it. I can't be poded. I can't benefit from it in its present state because it's kodshi. So it's valueless to me. If it's valueless, then I'm not going to be chai for me'ila, because me'ila is only incurred when you are mafsid hegdish, that you cause some sort of loss of an object that's of value. So again, Rabbi Osai, what Rabbi Yosef is asking here is the following question: does this chomet shel hegdish have a monetary value? Can I enjoy it? And we're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that chametz is mutter banno, but the only problem is, in this case, it's an overlap of chametz and me'ila and hegdesh, and therefore it's aser banno insofar as it's hegdesh. As far as chametz is concerned, that doesn't bother me. However, now I'm going to do a pidgin, and I'm going to transfer the kedusha, the hegdesh, from the chametz, and then the chametz is yotza michlal hegdesh. What am I going to do with this chametz once there was a pidgin and it's no longer hegdesh? I'm going to feed it to my dog. How can I feed it to my dog? Chametz is also about no. We're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Chametz is mutter b'no. If that be the case, then I really have a vested interest in this chametz. I have value in this chametz because I could simply be poded the kodshim. Once I'm poded the kodshim, I'm left with chametz, and now I can enjoy the benefit of this chametz according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and feed it to my dog. So in that sense, I am subject to me'ila. Why? Because me'ila means when you steal something from Hegdesh that has a value to it. And this definitely has a value to it. It can be sold on the market because all you have to do is be poded. And once you poded it, you can feed it to a dog. However, the other man, the Yomu, says lomal, he holds ein podim es hakotshim lachilim leklovim. You're in a bind here. You can't eat this on Pesach because it's chametz. You can't even be poded it to use the chametz to feed your dog, because the halacha doesn't allow pidgin for the sake of feeding an animal. Pidgin is only allowed for the sake of human consumption and not animal consumption. So this brings us to the, we're going to have to stop now, but to Rav Acha bar Rava, and Rav Acha bar Rava is going to take us to Chavtes Amid Beis, and Mitzvah will cover Rav Acha bar Rava tomorrow. And Rav Acha bar Rava is going to be the introduction to the sugya of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Remember, I told you we owe a debt that we have to come all the way around the bases and come back to our original question about Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because he said that according to Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to benefit from chametz of a guy and eat it on Pesach because of the hekesh, we'll call it. I called it Gzeir Shom before, between Si'or Da'achila and Si'or De. Okay then, Rabosai. So let's make a note of where we got up to here. We are up to Rav Acha bar Rav. And I wish everyone a great day.